Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And a good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve Jones is coming up in a sec from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Matt Catrillo here with you. As always, another jam-packed show for today. We got Tyler Donahue today joining us at 3:35. Neil Coulong will join us today. Probably put him in the 4:06 slot. And then we will play part two of James Franklin's press conference from yesterday at the end of the show today. Probably we'll do that probably at 4:35 today. James Franklin met with the media yesterday via a teleconference. First time really in a few months, and since all this COVID outbreak started, that James has been able to address things with the media. And he got on a couple different things yesterday and how the players are dealing with things, how the coaches are meeting every couple of days. He tries to have a team meeting once a week. Then he tries to meet with the position meetings, and they have their own group on the Zoom that everybody seems to be using now on all aspects. So he was going over some of the logistics, a lot of questions about that, no question, as to the reason why for it, of how things are going right now. We've had a lot of talk of how Penn State is dealing with recruiting now at this time of the year, considering they don't have much access right now to recruits because of what's going on now with COVID. A lot of questions about that, so we'll get into more of that conversation with part two of James Franklin's show, James Franklin's teleconference, rather, coming up later on in the show today. And, of course, we want to hear from you, too. We'll take your calls, 1-800-795-9565. You can email Steve Jones Show at WKOK.com. Hit us up on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU, and we're on Facebook at the Steve Jones Show as well. One other major postponement has come about with all this COVID concerns, and, of course, this would upset the suit himself, as Steve would like to say. The Indy 500 postponed to August 23rd now. So we have the Olympics postponed, pretty much everything off the radar now, and now the Indy 500 has joined suit. And actually, we talked a little bit earlier in the week, very, very briefly, that NASCAR was doing iRacing and Fox Sports 1's going to broadcast the rest of it, Steve. And now IndyCar Racing is now going to be doing iRacing, and I think they have their first broadcast on Sunday, too. So hey, it's something. A lot of people liked it. I know the viewership was pretty high on that for when FS1 did the first one last week. It was from the virtual Homestead Miami Speedway, and NASCAR is going to do it from the virtual Texas Motor Speedway, which is exactly where the schedule left off for NASCAR when they ended its actual season sometime last week. So we'll be, I guess, maybe keeping an eye on that, see what happens there. It's the only live sport that is occurring right now. And Rob Manfred, who went to baseball real quick, was on with Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter last night. Of course, was asked, any idea when the season might go on? Not quite sure about that just yet. He still is hoping for mid-May. We'll see how feasible that is going to be. But that's there what he had said. But that's what he had said, Steve. Good to have you there in now, you and we'll see if there baseball finally go. Gets to go. Yep.
Yeah, I got Bob Nightingale today.
Excellent.
How about that?
How about that? Good.
All right. That's like, I mean, you think I'm over here gathering moss?
We're always working here, both ends.
Yeah. Oh, by the way. Oh, yes. You are working very hard, by the way. The Indianapolis 500. Okay, let's start by keeping middle management happy here.
Yes, I just did before you came on. Postponed August 23rd.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he did send us a series of emails this morning.
I did see that, yes.
Dealing with What is this, a virtual race? Is that what it is?
Yeah, so remember when we talked about briefly with Bob earlier this week how NASCAR is broadcasting the iRacing on Fox Sports 1 in the meantime while they're on hold? Well, that's what IndyCar is now doing, and they're televising the first one on Sunday. And NASCAR is doing it for the rest of the iRacing season there on the NASCAR side of things. So this is becoming a thing now.
How real does it look?
It looks pretty good overall. I mean, you can still tell it's a video game, but I think it still looks great. It was fun for me to watch last week just because some of the things that happen, there's a lot more cautions because people aren't just used to racing with the video game, because it's obviously very different. Some people haven't done it in a while, haven't done it, period. So you kind of get those things where, oh, he came in a little too hot because he doesn't know how to work the racing or whatever. So it's pretty funny.
Okay.
Yeah, and the guys are actually driving too. They have their own like virtual set in their like garages or the kitchen or wherever they do it. Like Denny Hamlin won NASCAR's first race on the iRacing series last week, and he's done that before. But you have a guy like Bobby Labonte, for instance, who's never done it before, but he raced. So it's just fun to have some sort of normalcy when everything else is put on hold for right now.
They should take three non-racers and put them in the field. See how they do.
Kevin wanted to put himself in the field. That was part of our email conversation.
I think it would be great if he did.
Dale Jr. raced for NASCAR last week. He technically came out of retirement and raced in the iRacing thing, and he finished second. He almost won before Hamlin passed him on the final lap.
Wow. See, I think if we could get the suit involved in this, that would be just great.
I would watch that 100%.
Well, we're heading now to a point in sports where there's going to be potentially, there's no guarantees. We're all guessing. By the way, just a couple quick notes. We might as well get the news of the day out of the way. One of the concerns here in Center County was the fact that Megabus was still running from New York City. That has been suspended till April 9th.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, that was... You're talking about people here that were upset about this. And they got a hold of the governor. There are seven cases in Center County. All seven came in from outside the county. And there's no one hospitalized. There's no one hospitalized with it here. So we want to make sure everybody was up to date on that. So the game plan today is going to be Tyler Donahue, 24/7 Sports at 3:35. Then Bob Nightingale, USA Today at 4:06. And then the second part of James Franklin's teleconference from yesterday. So that's today's game plan, which I know Matt approves of. It's a good game plan.
Always.
Also, the NHL draft, scheduled to take place in late June, has been moved, but they don't know what date yet. Now, remember, part of the draft is the draft order. Well, if the season isn't finished in late June, which obviously it won't be, you don't have a draft order. So that's why they'll delay the draft. Next is the Major League Baseball draft. Major League Baseball draft is determined by last year's finish. They say the Major League Baseball draft, which had been scheduled for June 10th to the 12th in Omaha at the Holland Center, in conjunction with what was supposed to be the College World Series, will now take place in July. And obviously will not be in Omaha. It'll take place in July, and they may only go 5 to 10 rounds. Part of that is more rounds means more bonus money paid out. Well, because of that, they're going to cut back on the number of rounds, possibly 5 to 10. Sean Payton, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, who had tested positive for COVID-19, is now, as he says, free and clear. Christian Wood of the Detroit Pistons, they, of course, had played the Utah Jazz, which meant he played against Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. He was the one member of the Pistons family that did test positive, and Christian Wood is now free and clear. So we thought we'd at least pass along these items to you on what is supposed to be the opening day of Major League Baseball. I know we still have Neil Kuhlein to get to before the week is out, but we have to make adjustments on the fly, and Neil adjusts with us. I think that'd be fair, right?
Yeah. He's always very flexible.
Because we got Bob Nightingale, and it's more pertinent to today, we're going to talk to Bob, and Neil is more timeless. So that's why we're going to do that. And let's see. Any other notes here? Joe Montana says the Patriots made a mistake letting Brady go. Yeah. That is... that's going to be an interesting debate. And Montana would, Montana went to Kansas City, and Joe Montana played very well for the Chiefs. Very well. The legendary Curly Neal. Remember him from the Harlem Globetrotters? You want to talk about the ability to dribble. Oh, my goodness. You watch Curly Neal dribble the ball. Curly Neal passed away at the age of 77. Shaved head, playful with the crowd. The Globetrotters, the Harlem Globetrotters, have retired 5 jerseys. Wilt Chamberlain, Marcus Haynes, Goose Tatum, Meadowlark Lemon, and Curly Neal. And they raised his jersey to the rafters of Madison Square Garden during a special ceremony. Neal played more than 6,000 games for the Globetrotters in 97 countries from 1963 to 1985. Now, if you're wondering, Curly Neal, it's obvious a guy like Wilt Chamberlain. Chamberlain played with Kansas and went to the NBA. But in that time between Kansas and the NBA, Chamberlain played for the Globetrotters. Well, Curly Neal, legendary, averaged 23 points per game during his senior season at Johnson C. Smith University. Johnson C. Smith University. Led them to the CIAA title. And was just a great, great entertainer. I'm not talking out of turn here. Many people in this audience know exactly who I'm talking about Fred Curly Neal. But Johnson C. Smith. All right, let's. I will tell you right now, I don't know where Johnson C. Smith University is. There we go. Johnson C. Smith University. Let's see. Looks like it's Charlotte, North Carolina. There we go. That's where he graduated from in 1962. They got a nice tribute to him, by the way, on their website. Very nice. So yeah, that's I think the in fact the Globetrotters were just here in State College. Yeah, I played at the Jordan Center, I want to say 3 weeks ago, something like that.
They played at Bucknell here at Soica last February, and I played with them.
Oh, that's right. You did, didn't you?
That's right. I still have my uniform.
They tried to recruit you.
That's right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that.
Did they put you into any routines, gags?
Yes, I had to dance to Billie Jean by Michael Jackson up the court during the third quarter. And I did score a bucket.
Oh, you scored?
I did. I scored.
That's great. Wow.
I had two other times to score, too, and I missed it. I tried to be too cute, and I tried to do a finger roll, and I missed it. And then I had a wide-open jumper, and I missed it. Still mad to this day. So I could have had a couple more buckets, but I at least got one.
How many points did the suit score?
Zip Bola, because he wasn't there.
Well, let's be honest about it. That's right about his career average. I did tell the suit today in an email that when it came to the virtual Indy race, that I actually might watch it.
Yes, I was impressed when I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should give it a try. Give it a try this weekend with NASCAR first. I'll be watching again.
Hey, why not? What the heck? I'll give it a shot.
Report back to us Monday.
If Steph Curry can talk to Dr. Anthony Fauci on his podcast, we can watch this. And that's true. He did.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And always make sure you keep in mind that service department at Sunbury Motors is outstanding. They take care of business there. And they treat you very, very well along the way. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Talked about some of the news and notes in the previous half hour. Now let's get to the recruiting part of it, because it actually has been if you're a Penn State fan, you're not going to walk away from today's recruiting news unhappy. We'll leave it at that. That's about as far as I can really go with it personally, because obviously I can't talk about anybody Penn State recruits until they actually sign a letter of intent. But for the first time in the show, we have Tyler Donahue, 24/7 Sports. Tyler, welcome. First time with us. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, Steve, T. Frank. Good to hear from you guys.
All right, great to have you on the show. So let's get rolling here. The recruiting front. Obviously, tomorrow is an important day. So I can't really get into it, but you can. So give me some insight on what's going on.
Yeah, it's shaping up to potentially be a big one, and right around lunchtime, 12 o'clock Eastern, Landon Tengwall at a Good Counsel High School in Maryland going to be announcing his commitment. It's down to two teams, Penn State, Notre Dame. He crossed Michigan off the list a few weeks ago. That was the third squad that had been hanging around for a while. I was wondering about this one, if the inability to make visits currently with the NCAA suspending that process with coronavirus, if that may push him back a bit. It will not. And right now, you look at the 24/7 Sports crystal ball, looks pretty good for the Nittany Lions, and this is a long-term target. He was the first offensive lineman to land on their 2021 board all the way back midway through his freshman year. And fortunately for them, the other team that was in early on him, the Maryland Terrapins, their offensive line coach at that time, his current offensive recruiting coordinator, Tyler Bowen. So some personal connections there, and it will be a nice pickup for Phil Troutwine in his first year on campus.
All right, so let's get into this. Obviously, nobody can visit right now, but over time, this has been a long-term recruiting process with all schools with him. So how many times has he been here to campus, as a matter of fact, and maybe how many times has he been to a place like, say, Notre Dame?
Yeah, he's been to Penn State more than any other campus at this stage. He's been to Notre Dame a few times. He spent time in Michigan. He got a long look at a bunch of schools down south and quickly figured out that wasn't really where he was going to end up. But I think these are the two teams, when you look at really the duration of this recruitment, which, again, we're talking 2+ years, they've really been at the forefront for a while now with Michigan on the fringe. Both of these programs underwent offensive coordinator changes this winter. But as I said, this, for him, the more important deal is the offensive line coach. He was a big fan of Phil Troutwine. And Tyler Bone was his initial choice. We got a hold of him after Penn State announced they would not be retaining Matt Limegrover, and he was all on board shifting Tyler Bone over to the offensive line coach, said that would make a big impact on him. Instead, he seems to really like Troutwine. He's still got Bowen in the building, and I think it's really shaping up to be a comfortable spot for him. Last summer, when he got to campus for the Big Man Challenge, he was named MVP of that event. And he actually turned heads, I remember, way back before his freshman year, June before his freshman year as an eighth grader going into a ninth grade. He was an impressive-looking kid over at that Big Man Challenge they did. He was easily a name to know already back then. He was in the middle of a big-time growth spurt. I think he played wide receiver in middle school, so he really came a long way, and right now he's about as solidly built as you'll find at the high school level. He's right around 6'5", 305 pounds, and it's not really a physique you need to transform, and I'm telling you right now, I would be stunned if this kid is not a multi-year captain at the next level if he can put it together on the football field, because he's got everything you look for in terms of a locker room leader. And I think getting him on board in a recruiting class at this stage of the cycle can do wonders for a team, because he can do things in peer recruiting that simply are not accessible for a coaching staff at the collegiate level.
So, obviously, the spring is a critical time because you can bring players on campus. They can be at one of your spring practices or multiple. It's up to them as to, how many times they want to go. You can take out official visits all you want. And, of course, there's Blue-White Weekend. So what adjustments have been made during this time period in terms of the ability to recruit in what is a different era?
Well, God bless Twitter, because that is where a lot of the interaction is taking place right now between staff members and prospects across the country. Of course, phones work as well, but, you can easily send that message via Twitter and get a response and go back and forth. And that's where you're seeing a lot of the communication. Unfortunately, so many of these players had said, they were planning on taking official visits when that early window opened in April and working from there and wanting to be committed somewhere by the end of the spring. Now, we'll see what the NCAA does, because as of right now, that early official visit window slammed shut the final week of June. And that's a time where you see a lot of movement, a lot of players making decisions. Last year, Penn State went on quite a commitment spree heading into July. Wondering how the NCAA will adjust that. Will they push back the timeline? I think for one, long-term in this cycle, I think we're going to see a lot more action on the traditional National Signing Day, that first Wednesday in February. It was not even a blip on the radar here in Happy Valley this February. Franklin had his usual press conference, but they did not add any players after the early signing period in December. I think because of everything getting pushed back, it's going to give players and their families some pause. They're going to want to get reacclimated. And let's face it, a lot of programs are just like Penn State. They had some coaching staff turnover. Maybe the last time a lot of these guys were on campus, they were dealing with different assistants. So as soon as the gates are open again, I think we're going to see a lot of players on the move. But each and every one of these recruits I've been talking to the past couple of weeks, they've been canceling trips left and right because they have to. And obviously, security and health is at the forefront here, but it's definitely given pause to development of recruiting classes.
You're talking about Twitter and so forth. Eventually, what will they have the ability to do when it comes to FaceTime, Skype, Zoom, things like that?
Well, right now, the only real sanction is on
Twitter. The only sanctions on being on campus, yeah.
Yeah, being on campus or sending a coach, you can hop on FaceTime and Chad, and we've seen a lot of programs. I don't know if Penn State has done this yet. I don't think they have, because I probably would have found out about it. But we've seen other programs, other coaching staffs having virtual junior days, virtual recruiting days.
Kansas did that, Tyler. Yeah, Kansas went all out on that on the 21st.
Yeah, and I think Arizona State, I may have seen, did it this past weekend as well. And basically, they're charting out the day. It looks like you can hop in for different segments of the day if you don't have the entire time. But that's a way to showcase some things. Obviously, not quite like getting that on-campus feel when you're exploring for the right fit. But the teams are going to have to adjust, and there's going to be some ideas that come out of this that I think will probably stay with the recruiting world, even as we hopefully regain a sense of normalcy and things go back to how they were. I think there are some lessons to be learned here technologically that will probably be advanced beyond this.
And rules that go with it, too. I mean, that's the other part. I mean, it's not just, you know, there'll be rules that will go with this in your ability to do it, because everybody's had to go all in on it right now.
Yeah, I think so. And then it's just another thing. How do you police some of this stuff? It's certainly not evident. You know, I know the NCAA likes to keep a tight rein on what goes on in the recruiting world, but that gets more difficult to do as the opportunities expand and different ways to get your face in front of recruits grow. But right now, it's all good. I think it's important for these staffs. It's certainly important for these prospects, because you know, you don't want to fall behind if you're a junior going toward your senior year just because of the situation. You don't want to cost yourself a potential spot in a class and a scholarship on the table. And you don't want to, you know, rush into a decision because you didn't learn enough about the staff and learn enough about the school, and you're just afraid to be left in the fray, and you're committing simply as a life preserver. That's not the right way to go about it as well. So nice to see everyone kind of handling this under dire circumstances.
Yeah, no question about that. What does this do, for example, for the 22 prospects? I mean, because this is the point where they're starting to really lay some foundation for a year from now. What does that do, because there's such a concentration right now on how to handle 21?
Yeah, I think they are the ones who are most detrimentally impacted by what's going on, and a big part of that is because the camp circuit was shut down. These camp circuits, whether it's an Under Armour or Nike, Rivals, all over the country, different regions, it's a nice way for players to go out there, go against the best of their peers, and get themselves on the map, because whether it's reporters and analysts writing up on them, or reporters and analysts communicating with college coaching staffs who cannot be in attendance at these events, this is where you see guys really rise up in rankings, rise up in terms of getting those offers on their list, and they've been robbed of that opportunity. You've seen a lot of guys posting workout videos, posting themselves doing reps, but just not going to have the same impact as maybe kind of the underdog kid from a smaller high school going up and beating a 4 or 5 star wide receiver rep after rep after rep on a practice field with a lot of eyeballs on it. That has been taken away now. So I think it does set back the evaluation process, and it's going to make coaching staffs lean a lot more on sites like Huddle, where players are able to upload their game film. So you're going to be leaning heavily on sophomore game tape as opposed to what we would normally be accustomed to in that off-season evaluation process, which is tricky because when you're this age, you could put on 2-3 inches of height, 30 pounds of weight in a span of 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of those 7-on-7 camps we talk about right now let's face it, I don't think people are sitting back holding out hope right now that's going to happen at this time. I could. It doesn't mean it couldn't. Depends on, you know, maybe there's a part of the country you can do it. We'll find out in June. It also is going to put a real premium. You talk about looking at game tape. I mean, don't look at highlight tape. Look at game tape, because you can see all the mistakes, okay, on there. But that's where it puts a bit real premium on your ability to scout in that area.
And game tape is not as readily available as highlight tape. There's a reason for that. There's certainly a reason for that. I mean, I used to work in a college football recruiting department. We'd get VHSs of each game, and then we'd work our way from there. Now it's, 7 minutes of one season. So you're going to have to be able to kind of tap into a high school coaching staff and be able to lean on them a little bit for that insight. And plus the fact, let's face it, academics are an important part of this process as well, depending on what school we're talking about. That can be a higher degree or a lesser degree. But what happens now? Maybe some of these kids who have at-risk situations at home, maybe don't have the best family life, What happens with their situation? What happens to their ability to qualify for enrollment? That's something that I think is also concerning.
Well, it is, because guess what? There are some people that don't have the ability to do at-home learning. They don't have that ability. Well, nobody's been able to say yet how they're going to be able to negotiate getting through this time so that you're eligible.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, we're talking about kids who are really in the middle of these big physical rapid developments. Now you're taking away their ability. I mean, there may be some kids that have basements with weights, good for them, but the vast majority of 16-year-olds out there, they're not going to have access to heavy things. I've seen kids pushing cars in neutral. I guess that's one approach, but you don't want to hurt yourself. So nutritionally, there's issues there. You know, if they're not going to school, and certainly physically, how are they getting access to weight room? We're talking about the same thing with Penn State players right now, trying not to lose the games they made in a two-month off-season conditioning and strength program. That is uber an issue when we talk about these high schoolers.
All right. Couple notes for you. Anthony Zettel is signed with the Minnesota Vikings. He played last year with the San Francisco 49ers and did get some plays in the Super Bowl. And former Nittany Lion Austin Johnson, who, yes, took Com 477 with, yes, someone as a professor. Austin Johnson has signed a contract with the New York Giants. So we keep everybody up to date on the news and notes with sports. This was supposed to be the opening day for Major League Baseball, by the way. Once everything does resume, you'll hear the Phillies all season long on Eagle 107 with Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson. Our thanks to L.A. for being on the show yesterday. I had a great talk with him. It was a lot, actually, I had a lot of fun talking with Larry yesterday. And hopefully you enjoyed it as well. You can check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast, by the way. As you know, when it comes to the suit, he's all about these streaming numbers, or as he would say, streaming. It's kind of like a Benton accent, right? No?
Something like that.
And so you check that out. We have Bob Nightingale in the next half hour from USA Today, because last night I thought, in watching Rob Manfred last night with Scott Van Pelt, Scott Van Pelt, as usual, did an excellent job with him. I thought Rob Manfred gave a fairly, in my opinion, optimistic view of where he thinks he can get the season going. Now, obviously, they have different models that they are looking at, which is important. And the different models are going to be important. There's no question about that, because you have to look at best-case scenario, medium-case scenario, worst-case scenario, another scenario in between. I mean, you have to look at various scenarios. Can you get 144 games in? Can you get 100 in? Can you only get 81 in? How do you do it? I mean, so there's a lot of scenarios you have to look at. But he did openly talk yesterday about early June to possibly play games. And again, that nobody knows the answer. He doesn't know the answer. I don't know the answer. Sue claims he knows the answer, but we know he doesn't. So nobody knows. There's a guessing game. Part of this is, and there's a lot of moving parts to this. It looks like Major League Baseball is close to an agreement on how to pay players and the service time for this season. That's important. I'll give you a couple of examples. I'm going to go over this with Bob in the next half hour. Let's take Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts has been dealt by Boston to the Dodgers. Well, under the normal circumstance, and this is obviously not a normal circumstance, he could play for the Dodgers. He could be with the Dodgers, never play a game, and then be a free agent. Then there's, at the other end of the spectrum, Miguel Cabrera. Well, if you delay having service time, say it goes the other way, you delay having service time, then his contract would go until he's 41 instead of 40, which means if you're the Tigers and their management, you're on the hook an extra year. There are a lot of scenarios that they've been trying to negotiate and play out. And we'll talk to Bob about those scenarios in the next half hour. Meanwhile, Alexander Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby both say they'd be okay if the NHL just skipped and went right to the playoffs. Okay. There's a lot of ways to do this. For Major League Baseball, they get 30% of their money from the gate. You may have to open the season with no gate and then transition to having a gate. And that may happen. Maybe it's a month. Who knows? I don't know. But if he's also, what do you do about the areas where the pandemic is worse? Obviously, New York, seemingly a little bit more now in Los Angeles, Seattle. Now, New Orleans doesn't have a franchise, obviously. They have a minor league team, but they don't have a major league franchise. What do you do about those cities? Now, it's going to depend on what life is like on June 1st in those cities. But what do you do? Do you play? Do you keep them in Florida? Do you play them at neutral sites? Do you put the World Series in a dome? We'll talk to Bob Nightingale about all that and much more in the next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.